I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games by three kind boys who play games but also do other stuff. Is that fair?
Yep.
It's a broad description.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is we'll talk about games. We're all passionate about video games. But, you know,
we're not journalists.
We're not journalists. Yeah. We're not mouth breathers. You know, we'll make fun of video games. But we're not going to end every episode with a lame joke like, your princess is in another castle.
Oh, you know what I mean?
We're not going to try and be like video game funny. We're going to try and be like actual funny.
What if Mario happened in real life and he had a gun?
Yeah, it'll be more like, what if the coin spelled out 69? That's funny. What if the coin spelled out 69?
Well, let's introduce ourselves. First of all, my name is Tommy Dasilo. We've also got Ben Vanell.
Yes, hello, this is my voice.
And we've also got Adam Knox.
I'm the third one.
Three very kind boys.
Yeah.
Now, the original name, it's funny that you say 69
because
the original title of this show going on about 6 months now since we've been thinking about this was going to be Nintendo 69.
That is correct.
That's what we've called it. We've hyped up on other podcasts that we were going to do it.
Yeah.
We were the kings of the schoolyard when we came up with that name.
And we sort of thought, you know, the dream of starting anything kind of video game related is that, let's be honest, we want free games.
Yeah, we want some swag.
You know, we want some sweet EB Games kickbacks.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be flown over to E3. Mm, and as I said to you guys, I think putting a sexual act in the title of the podcast is going to severely limit any sponsorship opportunities that we could come across.
Yep, fair. I think a fair assessment.
Yeah. So here we are, Filthy Casuals.
Yeah.
That's what we are.
Yeah.
We're casual gamers.
Yeah, and we're bloody dirty.
I'm sitting here covered in my own filth, like Pigpen from the Peanuts comics, just a cloud of smoke around me.
Yeah.
Should we go around the horn and give what are our gaming credentials? You know, what are we into? What do we currently own?
I've got a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. My main gaming thing is PS4 at the moment, but I got a PC that goes all right. So, you know, a bit of Steam action. But I've also got like a bunch of older consoles. I've got a 64, I've got an Atari.
You've got an Atari?
Yeah.
An actual Atari from back in the day?
Not from back in the day.
Oh.
It was like a shitty re-release.
It's one of those like 72 games in one.
Yeah. Ah.
Yeah. But it's still, you know, it's an Atari.
Yeah.
It's got a bunch of games on it.
You've got a handheld NES that we both bought in Japan.
Yeah, on our honeymoon.
That was the trip we took to celebrate not calling this Nintendo 69. We're like, good decision. Let's treat ourselves to a trip.
Yeah, but Tommy and I went over to Japan and we got, these little handheld NES things and got a bunch of Japanese NES games.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so cool. The original cartridges.
Yes.
Which the Japanese ones are like half the size of the ones that we had here in the West.
Yeah.
Like the NES cartridges were like a square, like a big square.
Yeah.
And the Japanese ones are pretty tiny.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to find out why that is.
Yeah. It's kind of. It looks like they were made to be like, oh, someday we'll have a handheld version of this and they can just slot in.
Oh,
like
they're real forward thinking.
Yeah, yeah. In 30 years.
Yeah. A couple of fuckboys are going to come over to this country
and
want to spend all of their money on a little version of this.
It's weird the like aesthetic differences that happen in between different countries with those old consoles. Like the old Super Nintendo looked so different in America with the little dumb purple slidey things.
That's right.
With the big eject button that was awesome to hit because it was so chunky. But
we had colors. Ours was like the Duplo version to their Lego. Bright colors for the little kiddies.
Yeah, we had
the little Western kiddies.
But I was a child at the time, so I didn't notice how condescending it was. But in retrospect,
we did get condescended to quite a lot in the West because the famous story of Super Mario 2 coming out in America, which had the same sort of style as Mario 1 and was deemed too hard for the Americans.
Mm.
So they got the one that we know here as Mario 2.
This is this is the sort of insight I think we'll have on this podcast as well. Like, we will repeat some of the most well-known video game stories.
I mean, this is at one. We have no idea who this is for. Is this for people like us who are, you know, kind of casual?
Don't know.
Is this for people who do not like video games at all, but maybe just like a good laugh?
They'll have to make their own minds up about it, I guess. We can't tell what type of person to listen.
Anyone who's like passionate about games at this point, like really, really into it, has already tuned out.
Yeah, you'll be really frustrated with us.
they'll
already have like four better facts about Super Mario Brothers 2 that they're just like, why aren't they saying that?
Yeah.
It's 5 minutes in and we haven't even finished discussing what systems we are on.
Well, I know which ones of them look a little bit different from others. Nintendo consoles were always like that, though. We're always a little, like, obviously designed for kids. Like, the GameCube especially, I remember, like, being a little because it had that handle on the back so you could,
take it round to your buddy's house.
Yeah, that's right. Who does that?
Yeah.
The first video game console to be modelled on a lunchbox.
And they're all, like, bright orange and, like,
here's your big purple one, your little funster. Go and have a bit of a play.
Well, when purple's the default, it's is this a wise move?
Yeah.
What do you own, Noxie? What are you playing?
I've got an Xbox One that I bought off of you, Ben.
Oh, yeah.
And it's probably the most redundant out of all of them because, like, everything that comes out for it is on other stuff, and usually the better version is a PS4 one. It's only got, like, Halo, I guess, which is sort of good, but the one that had, like, all of them put together, it was called the Master Chief Collection. I got it specifically because I was like, oh, I'll play the old Halo in multiplayer.
Yeah.
That'll be
great. Yeah, that's right.
And it just doesn't work. Sure. It just flat out still doesn't work in this country, at least, because it's all, there's no actual servers for it, and it's all like peer-to-peer stuff.
Mm.
So it matches you only with people in Australia.
Right.
And I think everyone in Australia has decided, fuck it, we're done.
Yeah.
So you just cannot play that game.
That's a shame.
It's an unfortunate thing that the Xbox, for whatever reason, has become, like, if you're writing a something that's aimed at, not specifically at video game people, like a sketch or whatever.
Yeah.
If you want to highlight a big fat nerd, they play Xbox.
Yeah,
Xbox has become the go-to reference
for
being a fucking loser.
Yeah, your loser like gamer starter kit is like an Xbox, Doritos, and Mountain Dew.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like the
hacker in a Bruce Willis movie would be like, get off your Xbox and come and help.
I don't think it's down to anything more than just phonetically, it just sounds...
It sounds funny and lame.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in one way, it's like good because they're getting the brand out there, but do you want it out there? If it's like, PlayStation's like, it's kind of the cool one.
Yeah.
You know, it's the one that your older brother has, you get to play it because he's just in his room, just fucking.
They did the smart thing as well.
Thanks for cutting in, because there was no way of me ending that that wasn't filthy.
Yeah.
Anyone who has his own
PlayStation, tugging on his own joystick.
Oh.
Those are the jokes we won't be making. But PlayStation.
That's a little more Nintendo 69 than filthy casuals.
Yeah.
PlayStation always did the smart thing of being at the cutting edge of like what the cool media thing was. Like the PlayStation 2 was the cheapest DVD player.
Yeah.
And the same with the PS3 and Blu-ray.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that, I think, helped them like associate themselves with like an all-in-one like entertainment system.
I've got a PS3 and that's the reason I got it was
the cheapest one as well. But then Microsoft tried to do that with the Xbox One. They were like, you can plug your TV into this and it'll record, but it's basically only for America. And everyone kind of went, we don't watch TV anymore.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this, Microsoft? And they said, oh, sorry, and went back on everything.
And also the creepy Kinect stuff with the camera.
Yeah, it was meant to be plugged in all of the time and you could never turn it off, and you walk in your room and go, like you say like, hello, Xbox, or something, and it turns on.
Yeah, which I couldn't get to work.
Yeah. It doesn't work well with Australian accents.
Yeah, that's
it's part
it,
of
yeah.
the problem. You go like,
g'day, mate, turn on your phone.
Come on, Xbox, fire up.
We got PS4.
Yep.
We got Xbox One.
Yeah.
I'm
the nerd one. Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah.
You got the Xbox One, you got Doritos, and you've got Mountain Dew.
I need my gamer fuel, man.
It's a sad set of affairs where I'm the cool one.
And I have got the Wii U because I'm a little child. I'm the baby spice of this podcast. So between us, we've got a pretty good, a pretty good spread. But that's also, you know, part of this this whole idea of this show is that. Yeah, we're not, you know, none of us has all three of them. Yeah.
I don't think most people have time to do that as well. Like
all the finances,
yeah.
realistically.
Yeah.
So we're going to start off, I guess, talking a bit about... Well, let's talk about what we've been playing recently.
Yeah, right.
Ben, you went in on the Mad Max video game.
Yes, despite all of the pretty average reviews.
Yeah.
Like, I was pretty hyped for it. I just kind of got into looking at all the preview stuff.
Yeah.
And then it was released like a week later. So I was like, oh, great. And then a week later... 5 out of 10, 70 out of 100, which yeah. 70 out of 100 is...
That's also known as 7 out of 10.
Yeah. Correct and weight.
In the weird like way that video game reviews work, especially, might as well be a 2.
Yeah, that's yeah. like... Yeah, 7 out of 10 is a fucking... That's a fail almost.
Yeah.
Well,
like,
say,
you
I
haven't
mean,
paid the money to get your campaign out there yeah. for them to like it. Like,
yeah.
I have to say, we... Like, the three of us went and saw Mad Max... Fury Road
yeah.
together.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say, if I owned a PS4 and I knew that that was out there in video game form,
yeah.
I would do the same thing as you. It wouldn't yeah. matter what the reviews are.
Yeah.
And I would and still go in.
So, yeah, it was yeah. developed by the guys who made Just Cause,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Just Cause 2, which is really fun. It's a massive open world game, like awesome environments like snowy mountains
all
and
destruction
deserts.
And
yeah, destruction. Crazy. Everything's breakable. The one thing that wasn't good about Just Cause 2 was the car physics.
Right.
So that was a bit concerning.
In that none of the cars had a guy playing electric guitar on the back of them.
Yeah.
Finally, a chance to do this right.
You don't even know how cars drive, you weirdos. There's no guitar man.
No, don't be silly. They were. They had no weight to them. Like, right. it was yeah. just shitty. It was like a... Yeah. Went in on the Mad Max game.
So and how is it? Is it?
I'm happy to say it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's nothing to do with the film, right?
No.
It's yeah. Okay.
No. A lot of the language used from the film is in it. So yeah. like Guzzoline and there's people called Chum Bucket and stuff.
And like War Boys as well.
Well yeah.
Right?
There's War Boys yeah, in okay. it, and the main bad guy is the son of Immortan Joe.
So oh, okay.
It's tied in that way.
Right.
But he's just like a big... He's like the guy from the movie, the big tank.
Isn't his name Scrotum?
Scrotus.
Scrotus. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Pretty funny.
Yeah.
imagine being called Scrotum.
Oh, what do you reckon your life would be like? What do you reckon they write on your coffee?
Be pretty bloody wrinkly all the time.
Oh.
Looks like he's 80, he's only 17. Oh, God.
In constant motion. Your balls are in constant motion. That's a fun fact.
When he gets sweaty, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He sticks to someone's leg.
Okay.
We're done here. No, it's fucking great. Like,
what we just did was the audio equivalent of nutted, but she's still sucking. Like, the joke was done and we just kept going.
it's awesome. It's
did
like,
it come with an EB Games pre-release, pre-order, special edition, like... can of spray paint that you just like blast onto your face before you start.
That'd
Jesus
be
Christ, what a long bow.
Yeah. No one even nutted and you were still sucking. it's great. It kind of plays like Uncharted, the Uncharted series.
Are you in a car the whole time?
No.
Oh, okay.
So that's the thing. There's a lot of running around, going through little cracks in caves and climbing things and a lot of melee stuff. So, yeah, it's kind of like Uncharted in that sense, but not as much guns.
Yep.
A lot of melee. There's like limited ammo, so you never use it.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it have like, because the whole Mad Max thing is that everything's very limited and you've got to struggle to survive.
Yeah, so there is a lot of that. Food and water, it comes pretty easy though.
Okay.
And fuel. But stuff like ammunition is pretty scarce.
Okay.
I read a review which kind of made it out to be like, there's fucking nothing anywhere and it's really hard and it's just frustrating. But it's not. You just go around to these different like scavenger sites and just get a bunch of stuff. Just put a bit of time in. And it's fun. Like it's not buggy or anything. Like the gameplay is fun.
Okay.
And it looks amazing. It's just like you'll fucking park on this cliff top and look out and like purple skies and like a dust storm coming across. It's all like very dynamic.
Yeah.
I want to introduce this as a feature of this podcast. I think our review scale, there should be no out of fives, no out of tens, no percentages. It's just your recommendation to the listeners, go in or don't go in.
Yeah, yeah.
So you would say go in.
Absolutely.
Go in on Mad Max, the video game.
I think it's great. I think it's like a fucking very high, like an A-grade game.
So
it's really good.
It's like an open world game, right? Mm-hmm. So is there like a lot of variety in what you're doing? Or is it, because I remember I used to really like the Assassin's Creed games and they just got so like... There's way too much stuff packed in here.
There's not,
it's all repetition of the same thing. So it just felt like busy work at some point.
It's more comparable to like Far Cry 3 or 4.
Okay.
Where there are camps that you go and clear out.
And so you're doing the sort of the same stuff but in different.
Yeah, and then the story's okay at this point. Yeah. But it hasn't blown me away. Like with the Assassin's Creed games, I liked them a lot. They were fun to play, very easy to play.
Yeah.
I didn't give a fuck about the story.
Mm.
Like I did not give half a fuck about the story.
I really liked, there was that bit in, I think it was Assassin's Creed 2, where because have you ever played them?
I got the first one for free with the PlayStation 3 that I bought.
Yeah.
Still sitting on that shelf, never opened it.
Yeah.
Well, I, at this point, I probably wouldn't even really bother because like they set up, like I was kind of into the story in the future. Like, so the way it works is you're this dude in the future and he's going back into his genetic memories and reliving stuff.
I lied. I played the tutorial of it and I was like, oh boy, this seems like a lot of buttons to remember.
Yeah.
So the, because it set it up that future thing was going to go somewhere interesting.
Yeah, that's
right.
But
it never did.
No.
There was one cool moment in the second one where there's this like future ghost lady who's talking to the character and she slowly turns to the camera and starts talking to you.
Mm.
And I remember that made me go like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a lot. That future storyline is a lot of, we got to take the machine that we use and run away from the bad guys.
Yeah.
Let's all get in a van and
then
hide
plug
somewhere.
You back in and you're going to go look for feathers in Italy.
Yeah.
Like, so distracting having the thing of like, all right, now find another horse.
The gameplay of Mad Max is pretty comparable to Assassin's Creed. There's weather balloons that you go up in to reveal more of the area and see, you know, certain sights and stuff.
Oh yeah, we all remember that bit in the movie where he goes hot air ballooning. When he proposes to Charlize Theron on a nice early morning.
He goes, oh, look over there, an encampment. I'll mark that on my map.
He won the hot air balloon ride for free on a competition, a call-in contest on Nova FM.
Yeah. He took a nice photo of the sunrise and sent it into Koshi.
Oh, but the best thing is the car stuff's great.
Yeah, okay.
Like you're
constantly upgrading.
That would be the big thing to not fuck up about the game.
Yeah, so the physics is good. Like, it feels weighty.
Please, every time you cough, do it right into the microphone.
I know. I knew you'd bring it up.
Xbox
I was wondering
cunt.
If you just let that go. Or if I can't help coughing. I'm a human being.
It's okay, mate. Next time you choke on a Dorito, just make sure you do it off mic.
I forgot what I was going to ask now. Is
something about
probably
car.
If you've got any mountain.
Something about Koshi.
No, it was about the car. Like, so when you're in the car, because the thing I loved about the movie was how the car chases really involved people jumping around on the cars.
I thought all that
stuff was really cool. Is it just sort of cars bashing into each other like those Twisted Metal games and stuff?
No, and there's a million different kind of enemy cars. So some of them are like... Yeah, there's
that's a big number.
There's 69.
Oh. There are like literally a million cars.
That's me. there's heaps, and some of them are kind of like utes, and they'll have guys in the back, and they'll jump. And they got the explodey spears.
Oh, okay, good.
You have a companion guy who's always with you, and he sits in the back, and like it's really cool. It's like he'll kind of crawl around when there's danger, and he'll like get over here, and he'll like shoot a harpoon. So that's a cool thing. You can aim a harpoon and goes into instant slow-mo. And then you go like... And then you can fire it at the driver and it rips the driver out. Or you can like get a tire and rip that off.
All right.
You can add spikes so that when you grind them on the side, it does damage. There's a lot of that. You never kind of get out of the car during like a proper fight.
Right.
You're always just driving.
I just want to say this quickly because this will happen on the show a lot. And I've found this in my own life. Anytime you try and describe what happens in a video game, in spite of how eloquent you think you're doing it, you sound 10. It's impossible.
And then
you go on to this and there's a guy who runs around and you go...
It's the slow motion harpoon and you're like... Bleh. Yeah, it's true.
I've in my head rehearsed how to describe a game to someone without sounding like a fucking simpleton. And it cannot be done. It can't be done.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I just want to get that out there because that will happen a lot in this
podcast. It's like because there's so much action, like try and describe any scene with Jean-Claude Van Damme in it.
Yeah, right.
And then he does this big backwards kick and the guy like goes on this hook and he's like,
and then you're like, whoa. And then he's like,
and my dad was like, go to sleep, kids. And I'm like, no, dad, this is who I am. I want to learn karate.
What do you got, Nox? You've been going in on the latest Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah. Okay. I think two things about it. It's really good and it sucks.
Okay.
At the same time. So the actual game is really good. It's another open world thing.
Yep.
And it's
this is Metal Gear Solid 5.
And this is like the second part of 5. It's called The Phantom Pain. And they released last year Ground Zeroes, which was like a prologue chapter.
Oh, right.
That was meant to be a part of this game, but they were sort of like it went way over budget, this game.
Right.
And so they put that one out, like the first little portion of it, to try and make some money back to keep making it.
Oh, right.
And that's most of where the problems with this game come in, is you can tell that the dude who made it, Hideo Kojima, is like, he's like the Quentin Tarantino of video games.
Yeah.
That he's like this kind of, he's got a vision and he's like an auteur about it, and he's this creepy weirdo who does shit that isn't interesting sometimes.
I follow him on Twitter and he's very interesting.
Yeah. He is a really interesting guy, but man, like...
Someone said to me the other day he retweets almost as much as a lot of rappers. He's saying a lot. If you send him something, you will get a retweet. It doesn't matter how banal it is, he will definitely... Hey, you know what? Tweet him a plug to this show.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want him to hear what I'm going to say. I don't think he's...
He won't listen. He's just retweet.
He is... He is probably the worst thing about this game.
Right.
In a weird way. Like, okay, so I have played these Metal Gear Solid games since, like, the first one came out, which was in, like... the first Metal Gear Solid was in, like, 98.
PS1?
That's right.
Yeah, I played that, yeah.
And then there were two before that for, like, the old MSX, which is, like, a Japanese computer that we never got here.
Right. Isn't there a NES one as well?
Yeah, but it's not the same, and it's weirdly made, and, like, it's not actually part of the thing because, like, they took it and remade it by this American company, and it's kind of...
Yeah.
I have to say, every time someone posts an update about a new Metal Gear Solid game, and I'll look at it, and this happens... Every time, mentally in my head, I get confused and I think that Metal Slug is Metal Gear Solid. Metal Slug's like an old side-scrolling arcade game where it's just like crazy rapid fire. And so my initial thing is like, fucking hell, they've changed the style a fair bit. Literally every time I see something posted about Metal Gear Solid, I feel like that they're not the same game.
And look, even if you know what it is, they're confusing as hell. Like, they are the weirdest games. And that's part of what makes them awesome. Like, they forever have been the dumbest, most overblown things. Like, I remember Metal Gear Solid 2, which came out for the PS2 in like 2001, was the fucking craziest thing because, like, they put so much detail into it. There was this ice bucket in one part of one level that you could shoot it over and the ice would all spill out and then start to melt slowly, and pieces of ice that were closer together would melt less quickly than the ones that were further apart because they were all keeping each other cool.
The original ice bucket challenge.
They wasted so much money.
MGS
on...
ALS. Jesus.
So, no, this is good. See, this is it. This is what people want out of this podcast already.
Yep.
We're establishing a brand.
So,
but the amount of development time that would have taken to get the physics correct.
This one has been being made for about 5 years.
Right.
Right.
And it costs them millions and millions of dollars. And Konami themselves are like this company that they don't want to make video games anymore. They're making pachinko machines and shit.
Right.
Oh,
Japan. And they have like health clubs and stuff that are making them way more money.
I didn't know that. Because Konami are one of my favorite game developers from like SNES era. Yeah. They used to make all the Tiny Toon Adventures games. Great.
All those Castlevania games were really good. Yeah. And they've got some good soccer ones that were good on like the PS2. And
Pro Evo soccer?
And that was like better than FIFA for a number of years.
Yeah.
But... they are done. They're making so much more money out of all this other stuff. And I think Metal Gear Solid 5 is part of it. So I'll describe the game. It's an open world thing.
Yep.
And it's like stealth focused, but you can play it as an action game. And it is really good in that way. Like, you can approach these things from all these other different angles.
Yeah, right.
And you can be really inventive about how you tackle a situation. And all of the missions are set up so that... They are really interesting with like the number of options you have and how you can actually do it. You know how... Every year, there's some game where they're like, this one gives you real choice in how you approach a situation.
Yeah.
It's completely up to you. And then it's like you can choose left or right. Right goes to a dead end.
Yeah.
Like, it's the actual version of that.
Hmm.
And in terms of that, it's one of the best things I've ever played.
Yeah, right.
Just the actual game on its own is very, very fun. But I liked all of the old Metal Gear Solid games, and I got embarrassingly involved in the story of it, which is the dumbest, shittest story you will ever read. It's written by an idiot child who, like, can't even keep track of his own threads and has all these dumb characters. Like, everything in it, like, I hesitate to even tell you what the story is about if you've not played it, because it sounds fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And it is. So, in the original, you play as this guy called Solid Snake.
Yep.
and you're fighting your clone brother Liquid Snake, who you're both clones of this guy called Big Boss.
Can I just say very quickly, my only experience of the Metal Gear Solid games is being able to play as Snake in the Smash Brothers on the Wii, and the way he's introduced into the level is he's in a little cardboard box that he bursts out of. Yeah.
So that's like a big meme of the series. Yeah. Like, that's in the first Metal Gear Solid, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's in all of them. You can hide in a cardboard box and guards will come up to you.
Yeah.
Guards will come up to you and be like, huh?
Yeah.
And look at this box.
Little question mark.
Yeah. It's so, like, it has so many of those noises.
Abandoned box lying around this factory.
That's another problem with this game and every one of these games is that nobody acts like a human being in them. All these guards, like, if they see something, they're like, huh? What? Huh? When have you ever seen something and gone to yourself, what? Huh? What's that over there?
It's like every boss in every platform. It's like, well, I'll cover myself in armor, but I'll just leave this one bit on my knee that really hurts and is really swollen. I'll just leave that exposed.
Yeah.
So the actual game is very, very fun, but the story is fucking stupid and at points objectionable.
Yeah.
There's stuff in it that I would be embarrassed that if someone walked in while I was playing it, I would not want them to look at the screen.
Yeah, right.
I would switch to porn and I would watch that instead because it would be less there's this character called Quiet.
Why have you got Doritos out for just watching porn?
No, he actually does that too.
Yeah. Do you not? Stick my hand in a bottle of Mountain Dew and use that as lube. Sorry,
a low point.
It's too descriptive.
Yep.
So there's
I'm going to have to click that explicit button when I upload this one.
There's this character in it called Quiet Wright, who not Quiet Wright, her name is just Quiet.
Yep.
And there's been like a bunch of other people talking about this, and it's got like that. So she's like this sniper who doesn't talk and is dressed in nothing. She's wearing like this tiny bikini.
Oh, right.
And like there's a reason in quotation marks why she's in that in the story, but it's fucking stupid and obviously written backwards.
They drew
her in a bikini first and then went like, okay, how can we finagle our way out of why she's in a bikini? Because there are other characters who have the exact same reason that for her wearing it who wear suits. And it's silly. And it's fucked. And he's always had this, like these lingering butt shots and these like, in Metal Gear Solid 4, you remember how you could like move the PS3 controller? There's this one female character who you can talk to who if you shake the controller, her boobs fly about.
Oh, and just God.
And what? This is Hideo Kojima. He's a creepy weirdo perv. Well, there's two options. Either he's a weird perv and he's making us look at this shit because he likes it. Which I think is actually maybe the point, because she's a real model, the one that Quiet's based off, called Stephanie Justin. And in Metal Gear Solid 4, they were like the bosses were all these models who Kojima hired because he just wanted to meet those models.
Oh, fuck.
And I'm pretty sure it's the same thing with this one.
Bear in mind as you go on that he is definitely listening to this. So,
Mr. Kojima, I swear to God, you have got some stuff to figure out, man. Because there's so many butt shots and like. It's not justified and it makes you feel creepy. So either the option is he's creepy or option B, which is maybe worse, is it's so like condescending, is like gamers will love this.
Yeah. I mean, that's very surprising for me to hear that because I haven't read up on this game much at all.
Yeah.
As a casual observer, I would look at that game and go, oh, tactical espionage
and
kind of thriller
95%
thing.
Of
not
it
a
is.
Thing that I would look at and go, that's where I'm going to go to get that ass.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not Dead or Alive
exactly.
Beach volleyball. Yeah.
95%. And you know what? It is slightly a cultural thing because I think in Japan, it seems like it's a little more kind of just like, it's fine. But it was here in like the 60s or whatever as well, I guess, you know? It's exploitative and it's weird and it makes me feel creepy.
Yeah, walking around Japan is just like being in a non-stop episode of Benny Hill.
You can never get to where you're going because every door leads to this weird other door that you didn't think it would. You're always being chased by cops. So, yeah, that aspect of it is a little shitty and the story is fucking stupid and, like, it's really dumb and you won't care about it if you don't like the Metal Gear Solid games. And if you do like them, it's also really dumb and not well done.
Yeah.
And so they ran out of money, basically, making this
really?
Game.
Oh, really? Right.
There's bits of it that just don't tie up. Characters go like, I'm going to leave with this important plot point and you'll never see me again.
Right. It's Poochie style. I have to go back to my home planet. Yeah.
And there's like on the like the collector's edition thing you get with the PS4 version, there's this disc, and on it apparently is like a cut episode 51, which is like there's 50 episodes, but they're missions. That's the other weird thing, man. This guy's such a weirdo. Like,
By the way, I like that there's a deluxe edition of a game that technically the standard edition is barely even done. Like, it's not even finished.
But that's the thing. Like, it's in terms of the actual game, it's totally finished. It's it's really, really good. But just like the story and stuff, which you shouldn't care about anyway, because it is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Like, if you're coming to... But
so would you say, if you're a fan of the series, go in...
I think anyone who's a fan of this series is going to go in anyway.
Yeah,
sure.
Like, it's the sort of thing where it's his last one as well. He's leaving Konami. This is the last one we'll ever get. And, you know.
And so that's been a bit of a story in itself, hasn't it? That he's. They have tried to. They've taken his name off all of the. Marketing stuff for it.
Yeah, and Konami is just this weird place to work for where, like, all this stuff came out in, like, March where the way that company is built is awful. Like, all of the employees, right? They. If, say, you're a. Programmer and you have been for years, if you work on something that doesn't do that well, they might just make you a janitor now. Maybe you're working at one of their health clubs and you're like, you know, the receptionist.
Fuck.
They do shit like that. You don't have access to your own email. You can't make personal calls and stuff. Like, it's this weird.
Oh, wow.
And this is how desperate a lot of Metal Gear Solid fans are to believe that it's all like this crazy ruse. Because like, with the second one, there was like this weird reveal that you don't actually play as Snake in the game, and he didn't tell anyone. It was like this secret thing. So ever since then, people have been like, he's setting the whole thing up. And this game's like set in 1984, and there's references to 1984, and they were like, they're just pretending. Like, nah, man, Konami's like a publicly traded company.
Yeah.
They're not going to pretend to be monsters just for the sake of this weirdo's idea for a silly game trick.
Yeah.
So it is awful. And so he's leaving. And that's part of why it is. And so, but anyone who isn't interested in this series up to this point, weirdly, even though it's so fucking silly and stuff, this game, this is probably the easiest one to get into.
So what I wanted to talk about, the big release of this week in terms of Nintendo, was Super Mario Maker for the Wii U. It has come out to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Mario. It is a it uses the gamepad, and you can make your own Mario levels.
It's
and
so crazy.
We spent about an hour and a half playing it when you guys got here. And I've never been into level creation stuff. Do you remember like when you first started playing games, you're like, fuck, imagine if you could make your own Mario courses, how sick that would be.
Yeah.
And then that started kind of trickling into games. Like I had Little Big Planet on the
PS3.
And you could make levels on them, but it's just I've never spent more than about 10 seconds on it before I go, oh, I don't actually know what I'm doing.
Yeah, like, I'm not like, a video game designer.
Exactly. It's like giving just a man on a street a camera and going, there you go, make a movie. Like you've got to actually have ideas and, you know, the creativity or passion for it. But but you can go online and you can play other people's courses at random and you can so basically if you're just playing it, it's like a never ending video game.
It's just infinite Mario
levels. It's just
games.
Infinite Mario levels. So I was most excited to see what other people made and kind of dick around with that.
Mm.
But I spent a couple of hours on the weekend playing levels and making levels. And making levels is actually fun.
Yeah.
Like it's the way that the builder is set up and the way it staggers out the items and just the whole presentation of it.
Yeah.
And having the gamepad.
Totally.
Makes
I reckon
huge
having
difference.
A touch screen and a stylus is like the best way you could do it. Like
yeah.
having even better than like having a mouse. Like,
well, that's what I've realized like about all those old level creation things on old console games was that, you know, having to just like control it with a D-pad.
Yeah,
all the go old, into like
I made a few levels
then
on like the old Tony Hawk games, and it was so
that's right,
awkward
yeah.
to like spin them around and fit them into this little bit.
Yeah, that was probably the one game that I actually
that was like
to make
one of the most well-made ones, and it was still quite rough.
Yeah,
but with this, you can with the Mario Maker, you can drop yourself in and out, and you can just like test a little bit of it, and then tap a button and be back into the builder. And so we spent a bit of time going through the online levels that people have made.
Yeah.
And there's like the day I got it, I laughed a lot. Like you just, you get dropped. What's cool about it is if you just go randomly, you can do like a thing called the 100 Mario challenge where you've got 100 lives to get through. I think it's like 10 levels or something.
Mm.
And it just brings up a random selection of a level from anywhere around the world, just anyone who's made it. And you get dropped into a level and you don't know what it's going to be. Like people make theme levels. People try and make fun, challenging levels.
Yep.
People try and make super fucked, near impossible levels.
Yeah.
People try and make just troll levels.
Yep.
And so like you can change the sound effects. Like one of the first ones I played was like I hit a brick and instead of the smashing noise, it was like a horn, like a... And then,
oh fuck!
Yeah,
that was the most impressive horn noise I've ever heard.
Yeah, we dropped that in. That was me IRL.
You just did that with your mouth somehow. Yeah, that sounded like a real. You could. You could ride a bike around and just.
I'm experienced in the horn sound. That's I discovered that at a young age and went, oh, I've got a party trick, ladies. Yeah. So that, and then I've adopted something that I saw someone else do, which is where, and I'm about to do the thing of sounding like a 10-year-old explaining the game, where the end of Mario, when you go onto the goal flag, you go onto the flag and he shimmies down, and it's a little automatic animation where then he runs into the castle. You can rig it up so you can put a trampoline facing outwards at the end of the flagpole. So you'll get to the end of the flagpole, start to run, and then just bounce off the trampoline and go off a cliff that you can put there.
It's beautiful.
It's great.
Which is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And so that came up in like the second level I played, and I went, I'm putting that in every level I make. That is the best. That is
that
so funny.
That was the most interesting thing about playing it before and like having seen a few videos of it is like the way that it, like, it's such an un-Nintendo thing to do as well, but the way that it, like, subverts what you think, like, what you've learned about Mario games from 30 years of existing. These, like, very strict conventions usually, where, like, if you hit a question mark block, there's going to be, like, probably a coin or a mushroom or something come out.
Yeah.
But you can make a giant Bowser pop out.
Exactly, yeah.
And attack everyone.
Yeah. And I mean, I think this has been mentioned in pretty much every. literally everyone.
Yeah.
He comes out of the TV.
This has been mentioned in pretty much every review I've read of it, but it is true. It's a celebration. You know, it's come out as the 30th anniversary, and it's just like, it's fun to make levels and it's fun to plan, but you also just this legacy that. Like, no other video game company has.
Yeah.
Like, no other games company has this much stuff to draw on.
Very few, like, entertainment properties in the world. Like, you got Mickey Mouse and Mario who, like, they're honestly easily equivalent because, like...
But Mickey Mouse, like, they're not even... I mean, he
doesn't even show up in shit that often anymore.
Exactly. Like, they don't really make any new Mickey Mouse stuff. Yeah. Like, I say this all the time. Like, the reason I still love Nintendo, and it is, like, they're all, like, on the surface games for kids, but... They are still challenging and they are still fun. And I kind of think it's the only thing that I can think of pop culture-wise that I've been into from when I was super little that is still relevant and still fun and hasn't let me down at any point. Like, there's never been a point where...
Yeah.
Like, if you're into Star Wars as a kid, they had those prequels that were kind of shitty.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, Disney were... huge when we were all kids, but
they've not made any attempt to appeal to the people who liked them when they were young and grew up.
I mean, even kids now, they don't really make movies for them. Like, they haven't had a huge run.
I guess so.
I mean, Frozen, they're kind of back, but my point is they dropped off for a long time. Now they're kind of back.
Yeah,
like every other company has kind of had a weird transition-y period where Nintendo just still financial success wise, like they, you know, they've had their struggles. Like,
I think they are again now, right?
I mean, I think Amiibos bought them back, like these little toys.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
See, this is the thing. This is what Nintendo do now. If you're not familiar with this, they launched a thing at the start of this year where they make these little toys of their characters, and you can touch. Like, there's a little chip in the base of the figurine.
Yeah.
And if you touch it onto the controller, it unlocks things in the game.
Yeah.
And it's different from game to game, but I mean, the figures are well made and I like collectible cool stuff, so I have a few sitting on my desk and I'm kind of okay with it. But it's just, like, I went and bought a couple of new games the other day and the completionist in me wants to have the toys
to
have all the stuff. So I go up to the counter at JB with two games and then a fucking armful of these toys just looking like such a fuckboy. Like, being a Nintendo fan in 2015 is just, it's like, man.
You've just got to pretend to have a son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's
going to be a big birthday.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's so brutal.
I hope little Marty appreciates his mom. Yeah. Shouldn't call him Marty. It's too close to Mario. I'm by Mario.
Yeah, it's sort of, I mean, they're cool and they're sort of getting better at putting cool things. Like, one of the big things you can do in Mario Maker is if you touch your Amiibo onto it, it unlocks an 8-bit version of that character that you can then play through the level as, or you can as a thing in the level. So that's kind of cool. But also it's like, just get your shit together and not have to rely on making toys to make money.
Yeah.
Like,
it's clever as well. Like, the whole idea of it is, like, if I was a kid, I know I would have fucking lapped it up.
Oh, absolutely.
It has that, like, Pokemon-y completionist aspect to it. Yes. Where, like, but I'm missing 7.
Yeah.
I need to get them.
They are selling so many. Like, Like, this is the thing. Like, Nintendo have gotten a lot of flack for, especially when Mario Kart 8 came out on the Wii U, for not having voice chat in their games, which is like a staple of all of the other systems.
Yeah.
And I have never really cared about it because, to me, it's just like, I'm just going to get on there and have a 10-year-old call me a faggot. So I'm actually okay with that not being in the game.
Exactly. I have nothing to say to some dude who's playing Call of Duty in America.
Yeah.
Like, what's he going to tell me? Like, man, there's a special on Doritos today. Get to the store. I'm not in America, mate. I'd like to know about the special, but I'm not in America.
But, like, if you jiggle the controller, it makes her tits move.
Oh, fuck.
But I've been playing Splatoon a little bit, and that's a tactical shooting game that is a lot of fun. Mm. And that would lend itself to voice chat. But my point is, like, I'm...
you need to coordinate or whatever.
It would be for tactical stuff. But, I mean, I don't really like that stuff in games, but if Nintendo came to the party with it, I reckon they would probably, a lot of people that have not been into their game systems, I reckon that's a big holdout for a lot of people.
Right.
So if it meant that they sold more systems and they then didn't have to make these fucking figurines to get themselves out of the financial toilet, then I would just accept being called a faggot by a 10-year-old.
That is part of
the bigger picture.
That is part of the problem with their business at the moment, is that the Wii U doesn't have parity like with the Xbox or the PlayStation in terms of like the power of it and stuff. So you don't get those big like Call of Duty-ish games coming out.
Yeah. But I think that's almost a smart move where they like, if you want Nintendo stuff, they're a company unto their own. That's the only place to go.
That's true.
A lot of people don't really give a shit about Nintendo stuff. Like,
for sure.
It's crazy the numbers of people who buy just FIFA.
Yeah.
Every year. And I guess FIFA is on the Wii U. But, you know, like those people are who you need to appeal to sell well. But Nintendo's got a new thing coming out, right?
I mean, this is the sad thing, is that I think the Wii U is the best Nintendo system in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, it's got an amazing roster of games. Like, if you get Splatoon, Mario Maker, Mario Kart 8, Mario World, you're set.
Smash Brothers.
There's Mario Kart 8 is the best Mario Kart in a long time.
It's so good. Yeah.
This Mario Maker game has just infinite playability.
If you
get yourself one, like, you're set for a very long time. But they've already bailed out. They've already announced that their new thing is in the works, and it's like,
it'll show up next year. Like, it won't be for sale next year.
Yeah.
But we will know what it is. But they've always been really good with like backwards compatibility
with
stuff. So you will be like, you can buy old like NES games and stuff on the Wii U.
Oh, for sure. But it feels like they're bailing out of this when, you know, and you know, classic them, like they had this whole gamepad thing where they're like, this is going to change games. And then like they themselves haven't even done anything with
Mario Maker's the best implementation of that I've seen.
It's like the only implementation
of
it.
Right.
Like there's literally barely even like games that they make. Like Mario Kart 8, it doesn't use it.
You can like push it and it's a horn.
Yeah, exactly. Which is pretty cool. But
it's like a button. That's an extra button. Yeah.
Even like their own like Super Mario 3D World, which is great fun. Like you would think that they would make a Mario that would use it, because that's always how they've
if you go underground, you end up on the gamepad or something.
Yeah,
but nothing.
Always
happens.
How they've gotten their new technology across is by their own. Specifically, I mean, Mario 64 was like, here's how 3D stuff is going to work.
Wii Sports told you exactly how that
would work. Which again is like the only good use of that motion technology is like
sports kind of
games. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and then they made things that even their games fucking sucked with it.
Absolutely.
Like that Zelda that came out for it, I can't remember the like subtitle.
Skyward Sword. Yeah.
That was a really bad game. I hated it.
Really?
It's the only one of those that I never got into, because like that thing, the sword stuff didn't work for me at all, like all the motion control, but B, it like fucking held your hand so much the whole way through it. And like this character who was like your little buddy would keep telling, like, it would happen, like you'd walk into a room and it'd like pan over the camera to like this wall with like the I'm able to blow up texture on it, and then it'd go over and like you walk over to a bomb and you pick up the bomb and she'd tell you like, yeah, you know, bombs can be used to blow stuff up. And you walk near the wall and she'd go, wonder if the bomb would work on this wall.
Ugh.
Maybe the bomb would work on this wall. Maybe we should try the bomb on this wall to get the bomb output. And it would just go so long and I just got sick of it.
I think that's maybe a result of the Wii was like a big thing where they went, we want to go after the casual market.
Yeah.
And so I think because it was at the end of the life cycle, it was probably like, oh, we've got all these people into this system now that are all casual gamers.
Yep.
Which thankfully Nintendo have turned around more recently and gone.
The Wii was so
weird, man. We're just going to make games for people who want to play games.
Yeah.
All those news stories that happened for like a little bit of time there where it was like, this retirement home just got a Wii.
Yeah. Look at the old folks playing Wii bowling.
They're getting up out of their chairs and into a baseball outfit.
It was such a fuckboy of a system. Like, there's nothing. Like, this is a thing that they've announced in the last week. Is it the next Pokemon game? And this is part of Nintendo's new sort of ongoing strategy of mobile stuff. Is it's going to be an augmented reality game that's on the phone where you walk around in the real world and you hold your camera up and you see a Snorlax on the screen and you, and it's...
Yeah, it sounds awkward and embarrassing to play.
These type of games already exist. My dad works with a guy who, like, you have to drive out to these places and then you take a photo of the place and you've won a point. And he says that that dude is like the weirdest guy he's ever met.
Right,
hope he doesn't listen to this. But his name's Hideo Kojima. But it does just seem embarrassing. Like, I watched that trailer of it, and it's all like these fucking cool people. Like,
it's all hot, attractive people and like families. It's like no one looks
there's
like
a segment where like there's a segment where those like attractive men come up to the park, and there's some attractive women on the other side. They're like, let's battle. I reckon my Snorlax can take you.
Yeah.
And they like have this battle in the park, and they're all laughing. But what would happen? It's going to be like a fucking chubby dude taking a photo of a food court of like a fake Charmander.
Yeah.
And then, or two chubby dudes sitting opposite each other on a park like picnic table.
Like, and then there's like a 7-year-old.
Got to go out to Hopper's Crossing to find myself a Mewtwo. Yeah.
And then a 7-year-old's playing it with the fat chubby guy.
Yeah.
But the mum doesn't know that they're playing a mobile game together. Yeah. And so that chubby guy's going to jail. Yeah. That's what's
happening. Stop pointing
in the
that
real
camera.
World.
Yeah. Fuck.
Jesus Christ. Oh, I didn't even think about
that.
This
thing of like, because this technology exists, is like, we have to implement it. We have to. You don't. It's fine to just, like, this thing of like, I read a thing of like, what will be cool about it is that it'll get people, Pokemon fans, you know, out into the world and out into the fresh air.
That's the last
Pokemon
thing we want.
Pokemon games already exist on portable systems.
Yeah, they're the most like enjoyable ones.
Play it in a park anyway.
Yeah. And also, like, I don't want all the Pokemon fans coming out and rushing the streets.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it the way it is.
Yeah.
But also, like, and it's, that technology could be really cool, but like with like how VR got shut down in the 90s because it looked really fucking lawnmower man. Like, you need to get it off on the right foot, or else people are going to go.
Yeah.
Like with 3D movies, I think they kind of suck, but maybe it's because I saw Avatar first.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're cool and I just don't realize. And like VR and all
that stuff.
I'm waiting
for when they give up on 3D movies.
It's kind of already happened a bit. Like, IMAX is keeping it going a little
bit. But I guess the fact that they can charge more money means that it's not going.
Sure, that's true.
It's a cash cow.
But yeah, all that VR stuff, and maybe we'll talk about this more another time because I'm really interested in all that stuff. But it looks cool and I really hope they don't fuck up like the marketing of it. Because, like, they nearly have already.
Yeah.
I mean, Pokemon has a really good track record with games.
That's
true. So I don't think they're, like, quite likely to, like, lend their name. Like, all the offshoot Pokemon games are, some of them are pretty weird. And, you know, like, they have the core series, which is, like, insanely popular. And then they make, did you guys ever play Pokemon Snap on the Nintendo 64?
No, but I saw someone had it.
I liked that game a lot. It was
really
real weird, but I enjoyed it a great deal.
Yeah, it was cool.
But it was, like, one of those things where it was, like, part of it was, you were on rails. It was like you were going through a Pokemon zoo,
right?
And you just controlled the screen where you'd like take photos of the different Pokemon, and like you got points because you could like throw little snacks at them to make them come out and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And so you got points for the photos based on how many there were and how rare the ones in the photo were and what they were doing.
Huh.
And you could then save it to your memory card and take it to a Blockbuster Video and get them printed out.
Wow.
However, that was a thing that was like, you know, the era this was, it was like, you know, things like that would be set up in the States.
Yeah.
But then it'd come here and the localization team would just go, no, we can't be fucked setting that up.
Yeah.
We'd have to call up Blockbuster and ask them to do it. And so you would just have this like functionality where it would come up and there'd just be like a big black box in the manual going, by the way, you can't do that. Hope the TV is good enough for you because,
In fact, Pokemon Snap weirdly sounds exactly like this mobile game. Like, you're going to walk around and take a bunch of photos, but instead of a Pokemon Zoo, you're like fucking High Point Shopping Center.
Yeah.
It's so, maybe I'm back in though.
I'd like to, in your idea of this game, it's like, they're all just the shit areas
of course it is.
They're never going to choose the botanical gardens.
No.
It's going to be a car park in Ringwood.
Yeah, I've got to get the train to Epping because I've heard there's an Oddish there.
What if it's just like a, it's all just some big, Like, it's just a scam where it's just like, yeah, the only place you can get Mewtwo is at this train station car park at 3 a.m. yeah. and you have to be alone.
Yeah, the Pokemon's going to get scared if you come with too many people.
And then there's just some Nintendo rep there and he just fucking rolls you and takes your phone.
We're losing too much money on the Wii U. This is what we got to do now. Yeah. People are buying our toys.
Oh, man, when your buyout scheme is cash converters, Nintendo, you got to take a look at yourself. Well, I think we should wrap that up for this week. We had some. Yeah. We were talking about doing some stuff where we'll go in on like some sort of weird retro games. We talked about licensed, like Mad Max being a licensed game. And I think, you know, homework for this week, let's go. This is a licensed game from the glory days of licensed games, when nearly every movie that came out would have a game about it, regardless of genre.
Surely not every movie. What about, like, Wayne's World?
Well, the Wayne's World Super Nintendo game.
Good God!
Let's go in. We'll give a wrap-up of it next week. I've always been fascinated by it, that it exists.
Yeah.
I've never played it. It's a 2D platforming game. Mm-hmm. We also had we had weird gaming history stuff, but we've you know, we've cheated with it. There's not going to always be big releases like this to talk about.
That's true. Yeah.
And I think as time goes on, we'll learn to just condense a little bit. Yeah. Just back in.
A lot of rambling, but, you know, all good fun.
Yep.
Yeah, well, all good fun, mate.
Thanks for listening, guys. Give us a rating on iTunes. Let us know what you thought. We're all on Twitter. I'm at Dasilo. You are?
I'm at Adam G. Knox, but I never tweet. Don't bother.
Okay. I'm at Ben Vernell.
All right.
It's my name.
Let's get out of here. I got to go to Dandenong to snap myself a Charizard.
All right. See you next time.
See ya.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.